Sabbath blessings, everyone. Do you hear me? Am I clear? Okay, thank you. Yes, again, Sabbath blessings. Today is January 21, 2023. And I want to invite you to pray before we start. So let's all kneel down if you can. And let's bow our hearts. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so much grateful to you for gathering us together, worshiping and glorifying you on this Holy Sabbath day. We humbly ask your Holy Presence, your Holy Spirit to be with us. Please give us an excellent connection of the internet as we gather online so that we can fellowship together without obstacle. We uplift to you all the spoken and unspoken prayers of all your children. Please, Father, use my tongue to speak in your behalf, as well as those who will speak today. Please forgive us for all the sins we have committed against thee, and have mercy on us. May we feel the peace and joy in our hearts as we worship you this Holy Sabbath day. For we ask all these things in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so the study notes link is posted in the text chat, so you can follow along. And those who are in the WTPR, you can just type into your browser the URL, sdrmovement.org/note/01-2123, that's the day today, .html. Okay, so our first text, by the way, our study is entitled Walk with God, and our first text is found in Genesis chapter 5, 21 to 24. It says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. In these short passages is found the only account of Enoch's life in the Bible, that he walked with God and he was not, for God took him. We will go back to Enoch's account later. Another example in the Bible who walked with God was Noah in Genesis 6 verse 9. It says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. So Noah also walked with God, who was described by God as a just and perfect man. So remember that connection. The word walk in both of these passages, according to Strong's 1980, it means behave, self. In Webster Dictionary, to walk means to live and act or behave and to pursue a particular course of life. Enoch and Noah, these two holy patriarchs walk with God. They behave and conform themselves to the will of God. They have communion with Him. They were in perfect agreement and mutual fellowship with God. This is the condition or rule for all to follow. We must be of one mind with God. Our life, our heart, our taste, our character must be in harmony and in agreement with God. Amos 3:3 says, Can two walk together except they be agreed? In fact, even Abraham, before his name was changed, was commanded by God to walk before him. Genesis 17:1-2, it says, And when Abram was 19 years old and 9 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. So the Lord has given Abraham the ability to perform his will and gave his glorious name as assurance and security when he does and follow God's word by walking before him. He will be perfect. So the truth is, my brothers and sisters, perfection is a result of continual walking with God. However, the world and false teachers today, under the inspiration of Satan, teaches the opposite. They echo Satan's lie by saying that nobody can be perfect. Of course, you cannot reach perfection. Actually, I was once told that the only one who's perfect is named Perfecto. What a delusion. According to the world and the wolves in sheep clothing, it is impossible to live a perfect life in this wicked world. And the enemy laughs. Because if the people, especially those who profess to be a Christian, believe this false doctrine, then they will never strive to perfection. They will never grow spiritually, and they will lose their soul. Well, it is true that the Bible said that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, according to Romans 3:23. All of us have a fallen nature, no exemption. All of us have a tendency to commit sin. But thanks be to our merciful and faithful God, because He promised to forgive. In 1 John 1:9, He said, If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, according to our Lord Jesus, perfection is possible in this life if we strive to the end. There is no contradiction on this point. Otherwise, Jesus would not command us to be perfect in Matthew 5:48 when He says, Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So again, perfection is possible today. Perfection of character is our goal to be reached. The Lord has given us the Bible to be our guide. He furnishes us all the instructions we needed so that we will gain absolute perfection. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So, let us then study our Bible diligently every day and apply all its lessons, all His ways in our life. Let's walk with God according to His commandments. Joshua 22:5 says, but take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. God has promised to walk with his people with the condition that we have to obey him. On the other hand, we must not only have a desire of the influence of the Holy Spirit, the fellowship of the Godhead, but we must strive to walk in his statutes. To walk with God is to walk in light and not in darkness. 1 John 1:6-7 says, if we say that we have fellowship with God, with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So to walk in darkness is to walk in the lie and ignorance, to walk in error and sin, unbelief and doubt. To walk in the light is to live in truth and enjoying its consolations, to be well informed, to be holy and happy because God is light and in him is no darkness at all. To walk with God is to walk in the Spirit, according to Galatians 5:16-17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to the another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. To walk in the Spirit is to be guided by the counsels and influences of the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God, and to live a life of holy deportment. On the other hand, to walk after the flesh is to live in sin and indulge in sensual appetites. But thanks be to our God, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are no longer under condemnation because we walk with the Spirit and we walk with God and striving to live a holy life. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Ephesians 5:1-2 says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. So to walk with God is to walk in love by following Christ. Let every act of our life be dictated by love to God and love to man. Our deportment, our conversation must characterize the love of God, because Christ showed his abundant love for us by giving himself to die for us. We have to show a similar love to one another. Yes, there is love in following Christ. There is love in walking with God. Colossians chapter 1 verse 10 says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So our walk with God must be worthy of the Lord, always in the approval of our God. It must be pleasing and fruitful in every good work, for herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, according to John 15, verse 8. To walk with God is to walk honestly. Romans 13:13 says, let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. 1 Thessalonians 4:12 says, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. So to be sincere, without fraud, disguise, or hypocrisy, with integrity and fairness, to be loyal and true, is to live honestly in the sight of God, in the sight of men, within and without the church, to our friends, our families, and associates. This is the life pleasing to God. The Apostle Paul elaborated the very brief account of Enoch's life in Genesis 5:24. He said in Hebrews 11:5-6, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Enoch saw God by faith. He knew that the Lord was there, and he remained devoted and steadfast to the principles of truth. In fact, not only Enoch, Paul also cited Noah and Abraham walking by faith in Hebrews 11:7-8. When he says, by faith Noah, warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear or reverence, according to Strong's 21:25, Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. So, to walk with God is to walk by faith. According to 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. It is impossible to walk with God without faith. To walk by faith, to live in the firm belief of the gospel and its promises, and to rely on Christ for salvation. It was a simple life of obedience, simple trust in our Savior. This is how the patriarchs and prophets have walked with God. This is how they pleased God. And going back to Enoch's account, how did Enoch walk with God? In manuscript 111-1898, paragraph 9, it says, it was in looking in faith to Jesus, in asking of him, in believing that every word spoken would be verified, that Enoch walked with God. He kept close by the side of God, obeying his every word. And the record comes down along the line to our time. Enoch walked with God, Genesis 5:24. His was a wonderful life of oneness. Christ was his companion. He was intimate. He was in intimate fellowship with God. Yes, Jesus was Enoch's constant companion, his best friend, whom he loves to share his thoughts, his feelings, his trials, his temptations, his joy, and everything. In volume 8 of the testimony, page 329, it says, Enoch's walk with God was not in a trance or a vision, but in all the duties of his daily life, he did not become a hermit, shutting himself entirely from the world, for he had in the world a work to do for God. In the family and in his intercourse with men, as a husband and father, a friend, a citizen, he was the steadfast, unwavering servant of God. Enoch's holy life was real, my dear brothers and sisters. His devotion was so deep, he spent much of his time in prayer and reflection. He waited before God and prayed to know his will more perfectly so that he might perform them. As a father, he was a man of prayer, binding his family, his children, to the love of God. Volume 4 of Testimony 606 says, "The father, who is the husband of the family, will bind his children to the throne of God by living faith. Distrusting his own strength, he hangs his helpless soul on Jesus and takes hold of the strength of the Most High. Brethren, pray at home, in your family, night and morning. Pray earnestly in your closet, and while engaged in your daily labor, lift up the soul to God in prayer." It was thus that Enoch walked with God. The silent, fervent prayer of the soul will rise like holy incense to the throne of grace and will be as acceptable to God as if offered in the sanctuary. To all who thus seek Him, Christ becomes a present help in time of need. They will be strong in the day of trial. Dear brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, this is the time that we have to set our family, our home, our house in order to be a house of prayer. It is now to have a private and family prayer in every house, and we are to leave our prayers, for this duty is essential in walking with God. For in this way that Enoch walked with God, our only safety in this corrupt and wicked world is to learn to distrust self and rely wholly upon God for guidance and support, asking His will for us and asking for grace and strength to perform our duty. We must be in much communion with God. Let's pray in secret 3 times a day or more, even when we are at work or while walking or doing something else. Our minds and hearts must have a constant connection with our God. No one is safe if we neglect to watch and pray continually. This is important duty. We must be controlled by the Holy Spirit daily, or we are controlled by the enemy. We are told to pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. In Mark 13:13, we have to take heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. And in what time we are now living, my dear brothers and sisters? 2 T 121 says, "We are living in an age. The perils of the last days thicken around us. Because iniquity abounds, the love of many waxes cold." Enoch walked with God 300 years. Now, the shortness of time seems to be urged as a motive to seek righteousness. Should it be necessary that the terrors of the day of God be held before us in order to compel us to right action? Pausing here for a second and ask, do we have to wait until we see the plagues are falling before we up and fulfill our duty? It will be too late. Continue. Enoch's case is before us. Hundreds of years he walked with God. He lived in a corrupt age. when moral pollution was teeming all around him. Yet, he trained his mind to devotion, to love, purity. His conversation was upon holy, was upon heavenly things. He educated his mind to run in this channel, and he bore the impress of the divine. His countenance was lighted up with the light which shined in the face of Jesus. Enoch had temptations as well as we. He was surrounded with society, no more friendly to righteousness than is that which surrounds us. The atmosphere he breathed was tainted with sin and corruption, the same as ours. Yet, he lived a life of holiness. He was unsullied with the prevailing sins of the age in which he lived. So, may we remain pure and uncorrupted. He was a representative of the saints who live amid the perils and corruptions of the last days. For his faithful obedience to God, he was translated. So also, the faithful who are alive and remain will be translated. They will be removed from a sinful and corrupt world to the pure joys of heaven. Review and Herald, April 19, 1870. Enoch represents those who shall remain upon the earth and be translated to heaven without seeing death. And also in Review and Herald, April 29, 1875, Enoch also represents the commandment-keeping people of God who will be alive upon the earth when Christ shall come the second time. There also, this also will be translated to heaven without seeing death, as Enoch and Elijah were. So, the case of Enoch is before us as a living example that perfection of character is possible in this life while living in this corrupt world. Living a life of holiness can be obtained by those who train their mind to devotion and love of purity. Enoch, as well as Elijah, were representatives of the living saints, the commandment-keeping people who will be passing through the time of trouble, who will be alive while the seven last plagues are falling, and will be alive on the second coming, and will be translated to heaven without seeing death. Brothers and sisters, the time of trouble is soon to come. Jesus is now in the most holy place as our high priest, and what should we seek now is perfection of character. We can read that in 4SOP 440. It says, now, while the precious Savior is making an atonement for us, we should seek to become perfect in Christ. So yes, we should seek to become perfect now. This is our true aim of life. Our soul is at stake. We have a heaven to win and a hell to shun. 6392 says, the message preached by Enoch and his translation to heaven were a convincing argument to all who live in his time. These things were an argument that Methuselah and Noah could use with power to show that the righteous could be translated, that God who walked with Enoch was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, Noah and Enoch were Christians. They obeyed the Lord implicitly. The character of Enoch was perfected and he was translated to heaven. We too can reach that perfection of character if we use our God-given power to choose to serve God and cooperate with Christ in overcoming sin. Unquestioning obedience is required for us now. And because Enoch strove to conform himself to the divine likeness, the walk with God which he pursued on earth for 365 years continued till he was translated to heaven, the first from among men to enter the holy city. Sister White, during her vision of the other worlds, have seen Enoch visiting the planet? In Christian Experience and Views, page 22, he said here, the Lord has given me a view of the other worlds. Wings were given me, and an angel attended me from the city to a place that was bright and glorious. The grass of the place was living green, and the birds were warbled a sweet song. The inhabitants of the place were of all sizes. They were noble, majestic, and lovely. They bore the express image of Jesus. I asked one of them why they were so much more lovely than those on the earth. The reply was, we have lived in strict obedience to the commandments of God and have not fallen by disobedience like those on the earth. Going down, he said, then I was taken to a world which had seven moons. There I saw good old Enoch, who had been translated. On his arm he bore a glorious palm, and on each leaf was written, victory. Going down, said, on the back part of his head was a bow that confined the wreath, and upon the bow was written, holiness. And I asked him, Sister White asked him, if this was the place he was taken to from the earth. And Enoch said, it is not. The city is my home, and I have come to visit this place. He moved about the place as if perfectly at home. I beg of my attending angel to let me remain in that place. I could not bear the thought of coming back to this dark world again. Then the angel said, you must go back, and if you are faithful, you with the 144,000 shall have the privilege of visiting all the worlds and viewing the handiworks of God. Brothers and sisters, Enoch's life is full of inspiration and encouragement for each one of us. We have to walk as he walked with God now. This is a challenge for each one of us. This should be our motivation, our great desire to continue to our faith in spite of hardships, trials, temptations, and persecutions. We have to strive to perfect our character in every aspect. Christ's Object Lesson, page 332, says, be ambitious for the Master's glory to cultivate every grace of character in every phase of your character building. You are to please God. This you may do. For Enoch pleased him, though living in a degenerate age. And there are Enochs in this our day. Yes, there are now living Enochs today in our generation. There is now a living Enoch who has perfected his or her character by God's help and will be numbered with the 144,000 who will not see death, who shall have the privilege of visiting all the worlds together with all the redeemed. But we must not worry who composed that number. You will know later on if you will be part of it, God willing. We will have an intergalactic tour, my brothers and sisters, later on. So let us be thankful and grateful to God. Instead of murmuring and complaining or even rebelling when we are corrected, rebuked, and when our sins are pointed out by God through His words and faithful instruments, because God loves us and He wanted us to be holy and perfect. 2 Timothy 4:53 says, the Lord points out their sins and lay open their iniquity because He wishes to separate all sin and wickedness from them, and they may perfect holiness in His fear and we prepare to die in the Lord or to be translated. Only few quotations left, my dear brothers and sisters, if you will bear with me. My dear brothers and sisters, the counting of the 144,000 has already started. When the last person will be numbered and sealed, then Jesus' work in the most holy place is done. The 144 is completed. You can read that in Volume 1 of Spiritual Gift 197. To save our time. Today, there are only two positions where we will find ourselves. Either we will die in the Lord and see and taste death to be in the special resurrection, or to be part of the living saints without seeing death. Romans 14:8 says, "For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore or die, we are the Lord's." So let's not give up hope now. We have to endure unto the end. Who among us doesn't want to be part of the living saints? We are all candidates, my brothers and sisters, to be numbered with the 144,000, if God allows it for His glory. That's why we are exhorted to strive in Review and Herald, March 9, 1905. It says, "Let us strive with all the power that God has given us to be among the 144,000. Lastly, let us pray for the latter rain this Sabbath. Review and Herald, March 2, 1897, says, "Let us with contrite hearts pray most earnestly that now, in the time of the latter rain, the showers of grace may fall upon us at every meeting we attend. Our prayer should ascend that at this very time, God will impart warmth and moisture to our souls. As we seek God for the Holy Spirit, it will work in us meekness, humbleness of mind, a conscious dependence upon God for the perfecting latter rain. If we pray for the blessing in faith, we shall receive it as God has promised. The Lord is soon to come. Let us walk with God on this remaining time, for the time is almost finished. Let us pray with unshaken faith and trust that we will receive His promised blessing. Let us ask for the Holy Spirit that His perfecting latter rain in abundance will come upon each one of us this Sabbath day and in every meeting that we attend. That will prepare us to welcome our coming Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope and pray that you are blessed for what we shared this Sabbath day."